Okay, so you see the title in your newsletter is The Greatest Gift, I think it was, wasn't it? Greatest Gift. I thought about a sort of a theme as we lead up to Christmas, the greatest gift. And often sometimes when it comes to Christmas, we can get a bit distracted by the buzz of Christmas and the gifts and everything around that we can forget what we really have already in Christ. Like I was saying before communion, the Ephesus church was such a such an occultish, demonic church. Not the church itself, but the culture. When Paul went and planted into that area, it was it was far more occultish into all spirituality things more than we are today. So why I want to look at this is because I want to give us a bit of hope, because we feel sometimes like we're invaded a bit in our culture by what's going on in our culture, and we need to get back to who Jesus is, need to get back to his authority, need to get back to his power, and need to get back to the changing power of the gospel, okay, and the gift of grace that we have in Christ. So like I said, Paul planted this church right in the centre of this massive area of just extreme spirituality. I'm going to read to you 19, just to get a bit of a feel of it. I'm just going to read to you Acts 19. And verses 11 to 20. Okay. So, and God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. So he does say extraordinary. So that even handkerchiefs or aprons that touched his skin were carried around, away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims." And seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leapt on them, mastering all of them and overpowered them. And so they fled out of their house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and all fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of God continued to increase and prevail mightily. Isn't that wonderful? Like I said before, a wonderful passage. And as you read a little further on, there's a riot and everything sort of gets a bit chaotic. But I just want you to get the grasp of this church and this culture of where they are before we actually get to Ephesians. To think about what was going on there when he proclaimed the gospel. Think about how he speaks to these people. When he talks about the principalities of this world and the heavenly places. So he's got this real contrasting picture Paul is presenting. But I also want you to have this hope that these people were in complete darkness to Jesus, and they got transformed by the gospel. And like I said, in Acts 19, that the local tradesmen making money off this occult. You know, they had their magic books. They were craftsmen who made idols that people bought. And when Paul come in and started preaching about Jesus, what's going to happen? They didn't have any work. It must have affected that culture so much that these people were worried about their even income in the occult. And so they cause a protest in Acts 19 that basically gets hostile but ends up getting settled. But this is the sort of culture that Paul is bringing the gospel into. So as we look at our culture now, just don't get too stressed in the sense that it hasn't got overly bad, and also know the power of the gospel. If it can change these people in Ephesus, it can change the people in our neighbourhood, in our town. It can change people. And that's what Paul's trying to say in Ephesus, that Christ is the one in power. Christ is the one in authority, not the demonic. Okay? Not the demonic. And so these people, all the books they were burning were magic books. These people had very much, people of Ephesus had very much a longing for insight into the spiritual realm. That's what they sold. They sold books that would give you insight into the spiritual realms, understanding what the gods want. That's how they'd make money. They had people that you went to. Okay, so even think about that when it comes to our knowledge of God. Okay, think about what Paul speaks here. That they were offering a mystery. That's what the occult is offering. You come give me money and I'll let you into the mysteries of the spiritual realms. I'll let you know something, some inner knowledge. And so the people were selling their books that were giving that inner knowledge. They were selling their books that gave spells on people. Imagine this culture. You've just turned from occult, you turn to Christ, and you know that your friends in that put curses on people. And you're starting to worry, can their curses overcome me in Christ? So once again, Paul is wanting to put this security into these people. Okay, so I want to come to this verse, Ephesians 1, 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purposes of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful to think about this gift that God has given us and given them? You know, so often, you know, it comes to Christmas time, we always longing and hoping for some sort of gift at Christmas. You know, maybe we see Christmas as a time that we get together and we have family and we enjoy fellowship around, you know, that sort of Christmas spirit. Enjoy the food and relationship and fellowship. But here, this is what God wants us to know about. That life is in with him, that unity is with him, our life is connected to his family. But as we in the Christmas spirit, it doesn't take long to realise that we get excited about many other things apart from what God has said here. You know, we get excited about the latest gadget, the bit of clothing, the toy, a piece of jewellery or something that we get as a tool maybe. You didn't mind the jewellery? Star Wars movie, okay. You know, and we receive all these sort of these gifts, but and when we get those gifts, there's something about when you get a gift, you think it transforms you. You know, like a piece of clothing, it makes you look cool. A gadget makes your life a bit better. But all these things become obsolete. They become out of fashion, obsolete. But here, what Jesus wants to tell us is that the gift that he gives is eternal and secure. That it will never become obsolete. It never becomes broken, never needs batteries. Everything's included. You've got the Holy Spirit. And tells us everything we've been given in Jesus, the greatest gift, the ultimate gift, a gift that's eternal, that we share together as heirs. We're all here, heirs with Christ. All people who proclaim Jesus around the world are heirs with Christ. And it all comes through Jesus. And I want to think about some of the aspects of this free gift of grace, this gift that God gives us. We have acceptance in God. We have adoption as his children, forgiveness, restoration back to God, eternal life. And it seems that what Jesus offers here and throughout the scripture sometimes to us seems very dull and very unexciting. Because often we don't see our life in the heavenlies. We don't see the promises and how they affect us now. And I think if you look at our culture and all this stuff that we keep on accumulating every year, we're getting really hard to please. We're people driven by the next new gadget, the next new thing. You know, how many different sorts of chocolates can you buy these days? You know, I remember when I was little, when my grandmother used to go shopping, and there was like probably three different sorts of chocolates, and now you got about 30 different sorts of chocolates. All the different coloured toasters, shoes, whatever you can get. We're all just never, ever satisfied with something. And we just feel like nothing ever does it for us. And yet, how often can that also affect us as we follow Jesus? As we look at this, what seems to be old, and how sometimes it can seem outdated and irrelevant, yet it is the most exciting news we could ever have. It is the greatest gift we could ever have. Remember back to where we talked about John, the people in the crowds of Jesus. They were getting a bit bored of Jesus. Jesus, can you do some more miracles? Can you show us something else? And Jesus says, I've already given you enough. You know? And sometimes we think there's something, you know, we're looking for something more. We leave these things on the shelf because we're in this consumer mindset, never satisfied. Ephesians 1 is just a wonderful passage to bring us back to the greatest gift that we have in Christ. We can see the God who loves us, the God who showers us with gifts of blessing after blessing. That we have life in Him. You know, so often we think that God is like this this uncle you visit sometimes. That when you need something, that we live a life that sort of ignores Him. In a relationship, sometimes with other people around us, maybe the person in the cafe or even someone close is better than our relationship with God. And so we think that God is boring. God is dull. But Ephesians 1 tells us that we have a God that chose us, who loves us. Chose us before we existed, before the world was created. We have a God who's eternal, that's outside of time, before all things created. He's there. And yet this God is personal. He's involved with us, involved with our creation, loving us, even when we don't love Him. And if we're honest about ourselves, we often simply just love ourselves. And through this, God gives us the right to be sons, to be heirs of that eternal blessing. He's accepted us. This God chose us to become one in Him. He did this through taking upon Himself our sin on the cross, to present Himself as a substitute for us, where the judgment of sin was dealt with. That Jesus, through Him, we could be forgiven. And so when we come to Christmas, we've got to think about the big picture of what God has given us. That we experience His blessings through His Word, through what the Holy Spirit has reminded us today. That He's poured out abundantly to us, blessing upon blessing, even though we don't deserve it. Even though we don't deserve it, we are overwhelmed by His grace. It should cause us, shouldn't it, as you read this, to be overwhelmed. Blessed us. You know, so often in life we have this pursuit of happiness, pursuit of joy, and yet in Christ we have everything we need. Everything is there. We are satisfied. We are secure. God gives us a wake-up call this morning. Let God give us our hearts a wake-up call. With Him we've received the greatest gift. Listen to how amazing it is. Blessed in every spiritual blessing, chosen in Him. In love He arranged our lives in such a way that we would come to know Him. In Him we have redemption that's secure. Nothing can take it away. Sometimes we think we get so insecure in our Christian walk, but God is the one in all power and authority. And so for these early church who lived in a culture that felt so insecure about the spiritual realms, Paul is giving them security and hope. Nothing can take away what God has done. No seance, no little curse in some occult world can do it. God is the one. And He has placed us in His eternal family, adopted as sons and daughters with all the privileges. We are there. united in Christ. This passage shows us that we have a three-in-one God. We have a God who existed for all eternity within himself. We have in the Father who chose us in verses 4 to 5. In love he chose us. So all glory goes to our Father. In love, God has saved us through the redemption of Jesus. You are forgiven. Verse 7, Jesus is involved. In love, God has stamped us as part of his family through the power of the Holy Spirit. Verses 13 to 14, you belong. You belong, nothing. You are loved, you are forgiven, you belong. This is the God we worship. As we come to Christmas, we need to be focused on who Jesus is. But not just at Christmas, every day. And so we respond with the praise and thanks to his glory. And so often when we think about the concept of being chosen by God, we often miss the point of why we're chosen. Ephesians tells us we are chosen to display his glory. Life isn't about our glory, it's about God's glory. Life is about God's glory. We sometimes want to boost ourselves up, but it's about him. You know, often when you're in a conversation, you just want to talk about yourself. I'm so guilty of that. You just want to talk about yourself, what you know, but it's about God's glory. It's hard to get our head around that because we live in a world that sells everything about our glory. You know, like Facebook. Like, I love Facebook, but it's really fake book. You know, you put stuff on there that's fake. It's not really what your kids look like at home. It's not really what every meal looks like. It's just this trying to present your glorious life. And so often we miss the glory of God. Ephesians 1, verse 5, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace. Isn't that wonderful? Our purpose is to reveal the goodness of God. The goodness of God. The awe of God. So remember the next time when you're in a conversation, think about who God is, who Jesus is, and how we want to reveal him. That his glory is seen in the way we live. I love this passage in also verse 9. That Paul would say this to these Ephesians and to us. Making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things to him, things in heaven and things on earth. See, so often we think that God's will is a mystery for our lives. Often, as Christians, we're looking for God's secret will for our lives, which is exactly the kind of books they actually burnt. The kind of books that were trying to give insight to the mysteries of God. The kind of books that were in the occult. And so here, there is no mystery to God's will. Through Jesus, we have been made known the mystery of God's will. So here, Paul is reaffirming these people. There is no more inner knowledge to know in order to know what God wants you to be and what God is doing in our world. Often as Christians, we are looking for these secret things because we're bored sometimes of who Jesus is. We're looking for something new and exciting. And so we chase after things. But here Paul is telling us that the mystery is revealed. It's not hidden. It's revealed. It's revealed here. Jesus' birth revealed part of that mystery that was partly seen in the Old Testament, but now it's fully known in Jesus. It's publicly known. You don't have to come to me and ask me, can you give me some inner insight about God? Read Ephesians. Read Ephesians, it'll tell you. And this is good news because, see, so often our thinking gets invaded. We're missing out. Something is, we've got to find something else. We're missing out on something that God would have us to do. And so we chase after all these things. But this is what they were doing. This is what their previous life had been like. Now they have security in knowing that if they know Christ, they know the mystery of God. They know that God is bringing all things together in Christ. And at this moment, if you're in Christ, you are part of that plan. The mystery has been revealed in the sense that you are part of God's work in uniting all things to Jesus. You are now being adopted into the family of God. You know God's plan. This is the greatest gift you could have for life. You are privileged, and yet it's here, written in words of Scripture. And so now we glorify God by living our lives in worship of Him, because His purpose, His mystery is being revealed, even as we declare His goodness to other people. Think about Paul. He walked into that culture. He declared the mysteries of God, which was in Christ, and the people changed. And they destroyed everything that they believed gave false hope, and they followed Jesus. I mean, imagine our culture. Imagine if people, just for an instant, just imagine, just thinking, oh, I'm just isolating a few things. Imagine if people piled up pornography and burnt it. And it cost those people a couple hundred bucks. Or imagine there's other things that people are involved with and they burnt it. Or they threw it away. That's what the gospel does. That's what Jesus does. The things that we once put our hopes in, the things we thought give us pleasure, it reveals their falseness. It unwraps them. It shows them for what they are. And then shows us who God is. And shows us the mystery of His will revealed in Jesus. And we see life as God's glorious purpose rather than our own. And we see what life is really like. And as we know Jesus more, we realize that we have got the greatest bargain on earth. We got the greatest gift. Jesus got all our sin, and He gave us eternal life and all the blessings that are His. Nothing is beyond this. This is good news. This is exciting news. This is God's will revealed. Why do we try and fooled into thinking that anything in culture or anything in some even Christian bookshop could give us more joy than we have from knowing Jesus right now? I wonder where you get your real buzz from. I wonder when you're restless what you chase after. Maybe you're looking for things, some new spiritual experience, maybe some secret things of God. Are we just like some days the people looking for the new gadget, the new piece of clothing to make us feel better, when we have all we need in Christ right now? You see, it's now that we have all the fullness. We don't have the fullness in the sense of the promises, but we have now everything we need in Christ. We are His children adopted. We are waiting for the fulfillment of the kingdom, but right now we are heirs of Christ. And we have that will of His known. As you go out today, I want you to think about Jesus. I want you to think about how your life declares His mysteries to our culture. The openness of who He is. As you go out, trust in God and His power over any spiritual realm that you think is here. Trust Him against the powers of darkness. Out of whatever cultural practices you're doing, trust Him and His power, because it is the ultimate power. Because He is the all-powerful God. So we trust Him. And as we go out, speak the truth of God. This truth brings eternal life. This truth can change our people. It's with God's power and authority we can do this. And so Paul wants us to know, Paul wants them to know, that we are the ones who are revealing God's will to all our world as we live for His glory, as we show the gift of redemption, that we trust that His mighty works will prevail. Let's pray and let's conclude. Father, thank You that You are at work. That we sometimes get distracted by the buzz of everything, and Lord, let us draw us back to Your word. Draw us back to the promises that we already have. Know that everything we have in You is secure, but know also that we can go out and proclaim the goodness of who You are, that we can reveal to our culture Your will, that You are uniting all things in You. And as we are united with You, Lord, we pray that we can unite others. Lord, we know that You can overcome any obstacle, any power of darkness, because You are in all authority. That the principalities now are just here for a moment, but they'll be gone one day. That Your kingdom will come and all things will be restored. But for now, Lord, give us the courage to go and speak. We pray this through You, Lord Jesus. Amen. Just spend time in